Now let's continue on. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 28, and then hold your place there, because we'll go back and forth between that and Leviticus 26. All right, Deuteronomy 28. And I want you to remember what we read. Yet you return not to me. Okay? Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. Now, let's read verse 1, Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 28. Now, we have something better than the voice of God. We have God's voice written down so we can confer with it anytime we need to. Now, they didn't have that blessing. They didn't have that privilege. To observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. That's what everybody wants. Everybody wants all the blessings, but God, don't tell me what to do. Now, just hold your place here and come over to Leviticus 26 and verse 1, because someone's going to say, which commandments? Well, God said all his commandments, all right? Which are the important ones that he's stressing? Because Leviticus 26 is parallel to Deuteronomy 28. So let's read verse 1 here, and we'll read some verses in Leviticus 26. You shall make no idols to yourself, and you shall not set up for yourself graven images or a standing pillar. You shall not set up any image of stone in your land in order to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. No idolatry. We've read on that in the series we're doing, the seven proofs of God, what God thinks about those who make images and then bow down to it and say, save me, when they made it with their own hands. Now notice verse 2, and keep my Sabbaths, plural. That's the Sabbath and holy days. And reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Now think on this. One man said, well, the prayer that Solomon gave there in Kings and Chronicles at the dedication of the temple, that prayer doesn't apply any longer because it said, if your people worship toward this place and cry out to me. The temple's no longer there, so, you know, you can just avoid reading that. However, what sanctuary are we invited into as Christians? One in heaven above. So think of the sanctuary, reverencing God's sanctuary, and think about all the Protestants who disdain God's Sabbath and disdain the sanctuary of God in heaven above by saying we're delivered to do all of these things. Now, even though they might not be hostily against God, but what is it that they're doing? Now, verse 3, if, there's that word again, if you will walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield or increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall reach to the vintage to the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Have we not had that for decades? Indeed. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. We don't have that today, do we? And I will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. Now we're all worried about terrorism, right? So instead of turning to God, what they're doing, they're developing high-tech detection machines that can reach out 600 feet, and it can analyze your blood pressure, your heart rate, how your adrenals are pumping. And if your adrenals are going 100 miles a minute, you are a suspect of being a terrorist, especially if you are approaching a line to come into the airport. Now think, they will have those everywhere, everywhere. Baseball games, football games, basketball games, theaters, especially after the shooting in Colorado. Anything instead of turning to God. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Now we make friends with them and hug them and kiss them, and they shoot us. 5 of you shall chase 100, 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall by the sword in front of you. Quite different today, right? Yeah. And I will have respect to you and will make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat the old provision and clear away the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God and you shall be my people. Now, you can't have anything better than that, right? Yes, you can. Be converted and have the abode of the Father in Christ in spiritually in your mind. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from being their bondsmen, and I've broken the bonds of your yoke and you and made you go upright. But if you will not hearken to me and will not do all these statutes, all these commandments, rather. And if you despise my statutes, and if my soul hates my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, so that you break my covenant, I will also do this to you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, burning fever, consuming the eyes and causing sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies, and they that hate you shall reign over you. Sound like what's coming out of Washington, D.C. today? And you shall flee when none pursue. And if you will not yet, then he will punish you 7 times. All right? Come over here to Deuteronomy 28. God says, if you will obey, you'll be blessed in the city, in the field, in your body, fruit of your ground, livestock, cattle, sheep, basket, store. You'll be blessed when you come in, be blessed when you go out. That'd be something, walk in the door and whoop, there's a blessing. Okay, you set that in the house and then you go out the door and whoop, here's another blessing. Okay, he'll take care of the enemies. Command a blessing, verse 8. Establish you as a holy people, verse 9, as he has sworn to you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk his way, in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. It's reported that years ago, one of the ambassadors from a South American country was remarking about how the United States was really blessed and its government was really good. And he said the difference between our country and your country is that your country has God as their ruler. Now we no longer do. That's why we see all the things that are here. That's why take the time to fast and pray for the country. Maybe there will be enough people who will repent that God will honor them. Pray for the churches, that the churches will not get devoured in satanic deceptions again, because that is a real strong possibility. Okay? And he said, I'll make you the head, not the tail, verse 13. Now then he gives a warning here. Verse 14. Let's see what happens and then ask the question, are these things taking place today? And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, if there are curses that come, see, if there are blessings, there have to be curses. And today, this nation, as official government policy, is doing away with God in every one of its institutions, in its education, and even in its churches. So ask yourself the question, You're going to be cursed in the city and in the field. Is that taking place? You're going to be cursed in your basket and your store. Is that taking place? How about all these GMO foods which are causing all kinds of sickness, disease, and obesity? Is that part of our storm? Fruit of your body, fruit of your land, increase of your livestock, sheep, flocks and sheep. You'll be cursed when you come in, be cursed when you go out. The Lord shall send upon you, verse 20, cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings by which you have forsaken me. Now, they can return back to God. Now, I mentioned this in a sermon, I think, the week before. When there was a drought in Georgia, and they were down to 3 days' water supply in the reservation, and we've got this on one of our Church at Home half-hour segments, the governor of Georgia, and he was ridiculed by the press. He called a special meeting, and, of course, the press was there, and he explained the situation with the drought, and he says, this is because of our sin. So we are here to confess our sins to you, Lord, that we have not done your commandments, we have not done your word, and please forgive us and send rain. Rain came, filled up all the reservoirs. Rain came, the reservoirs overflowed. Rain came, and the rivers were flowing good, because one man, in a very short prayer, said, Lord, forgive us our sins and send some rain. So you see what could happen if people would really turn to God. So he says, all right. Then he's going to make the pestilence cling to you. Verse 21. Verse 22, lung disease, fever, inflammation, and extreme burning, with the sword, blasting, and mildew, they shall pursue you till you perish. Your heavens over your head shall be bronze, and the earth that is under you iron. I think if you walked in some cornfields back in the Midwest, that's exactly what it would be. Temperature 110 degrees, beating down on you heavily. All this humidity, but no moisture in the ground. And the ground cracked, the reservoirs drying up. The Mississippi going down, the Mississippi River. I'm astonished. The rain will make the rain of your land powder and dust. Remember the special that they did concerning the Dust Bowl in the 30s? Well, Dolores and I were watching that. And here comes this 2-mile-high cloud of dust that originated over in southern Colorado. And these were pictures taken in Oklahoma. And here it comes. And this is after they had wind and dust, and there was no way you could keep the dirt out. The wind blew incessantly. People died of lung disease. No one could sleep. It was a horrible, horrible thing that they went through. Well, that dust cloud was so big and so massive, and I guess God did this deliberately. Have to be to go that far, because the Congress was debating whether to send money in relief to those people in the drought-stricken areas, and to vote, they didn't know whether it would be a vote that would pass to send the funds or not. But then that big dust cloud came right over Washington, D.C., and all of the senators and congressmen went out and looked and saw that and scooted back inside and voted, yes, we'll send them funds. That's a true story. Okay, verse 26 or 25. The Lord shall cause you to be stricken before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee 7 ways before them. And you shall become an abhorrent unto all the kingdoms of the earth. That's exactly what has happened. And then if you're not going to take care of that, verse 27, you'll get the boils of Egypt with the hemorrhoids, with the scab, with the itch, and with which you cannot be healed. Now, they have an ad for Preparation H for hemorrhoids on television. You ever seen that one? Here's an airplane seat, and the guy who's got hemorrhoids is coming in there, and he looks at the He looks at the airplane seat, and it shows a cactus coming up through the bottom of it. You know, can't get rid of these things. Okay, yeah, all right. Lord will strike you with madness. Was the shooting in Colorado madness? Well, I think they've already done that to Congress and some of the leaders there in Congress. And blindness and astonishment of heart. You shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper at all your ways, and you shall always be pressed down and spoiled forever, and no man shall save you. Now, then come over here. Verse 34. The fruit of your land and all your labor shall be eaten up by a nation which you do not know, and you shall only be oppressed and crushed always. All right? Come down here to verse 37. You shall become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all the nations where the Lord shall lead you. You shall carry much seed out into the field and shall gather little in, for the locust shall eat it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but shall not drink the wine nor gather, for the worm shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your coast, but you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for your oil tree shall drop off its fruit. All right? Come down here to verse 43. Here's where we are right now. Right now. The stranger dwelling among you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. We see that happening, don't we? He shall loan to you, and you shall not loan to him. And so we have a president who increased the debt in 4 years more than all the borrowed money of all the presidents from George Washington down to the current one. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. And all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which I command you. Now notice verse 46. Lest someone say, well, this is in the Old Testament, and it's the Old Covenant, and it doesn't apply to us today. What are you going to do with verse 46? And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and on your seed forever. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Where is this nation coming from? The Lord shall bring a nation against you from far. From the end of the earth as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you do not understand. A nation fierce of countenance who shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. I invite you to look around the world, and you will find one such nation like that, which God is raising up to great height. And it will become our number one nemesis. That is China. Anybody here understand Chinese? Now remember the sermon that I gave about these 272 economic zones? The Chinese are going to buy them up. Free trade. It may work for a while, but guess what? What a sneaky way to have an unseen army come into your land that could break out and take it over and nothing flat. Now, there's more time for that to happen. But I'm just saying, don't think that that is an exaggerated statement that I have just made. Because God says he's going to do it. I've already read his word. I don't have to ring the cowbell here. All right? Now, let's come to Hosea 13. See, in all of this, God wants repentance. God has given warning. Hosea 13. And we will see that it blends into the millennium when God is going to take care of all of these things. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. He exalted himself in Israel, But when he offended in Baal worship, he died. That's what's happened to the UK today. In the UK today, gas prices are so high that they're advising people to get bicycles. Amazing, isn't it? And now they sin more and more and have made themselves a molten image, their silver and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men who sacrifice kiss the calf. Therefore, they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passes away, as chaff the storm-driven from a threshing floor, and as smoke out of the chimney. It's just vanity and will end up as nothing. Yet I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. I have made you known in the wilderness in the land of great dryness. And God has made himself known with his word today. When they were fed, they became full. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they have forgotten me. Therefore, I will send as a lion to them, and as a leopard in the way I will watch them. I will meet them like a bear that has been bereaved of her cubs and will tear open their chest. And there I will devour them like a lion and as a wild beast would tear them. Now this next verse is most important. Don't accuse God of evil. And if you do, that shows you do not understand that as human beings, the only way we are going to be successful, even in the world, but especially within the church, is to understand that we literally have nothing we didn't receive, and the only way we are going to function is if we totally yield to God. Now, that's how important it is. And also think of it this way. If that weren't important, why would God bring these punishments and penalties upon them? And as you think about it, also remember the second resurrection. Verse 9, O Israel, you have destroyed yourself, but in me is your help. So that's the message that it is God gives. Now let's finish with chapter 14, verse 1. O Israel, return to the Lord your God. That's all God wants. Doesn't matter who you are in the world, if you're sinning against God, God doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. He says, turn, change, for you have fallen because of your iniquities. Take with your words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all of our iniquities and receive us graciously, that we may repay with the sacrifices of our lips, that is, by praise and prayer to God. That's what God wants. Syria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor shall we say any more to the work of our hands, our gods, look at what we've made. For in you, that is God, the fatherless finds mercy. So God replies back to them, verse 4. I will heal your backslidings. I will love you freely, for my anger has turned away from him. It shall be as the dew to Israel. He shall blossom as the lily and cast out his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. So God is going to restore the people of Israel. Think about it for the church. Think about how we need to come back. Then he finishes by saying this. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive like the grain and grow like the vine. Their scent shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? Going to learn a lesson, be converted. I have heard him, watched over him. I am like a leafy cypress tree. Your fruit is found from me. Who is wise? He shall understand these things. Who has understanding? He shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but transgressors shall fall. And so this is God's message to modern Israel today. All of these things that are coming upon us as punishments are the hand of God to have us return to Him. Now, how many will? We do not know. How bad will it get? We do not know. But I'm here to tell you, this coming election is a very turning point along that road. At least we can see there are some men who respect justice, who want to do what is right, but will they succeed in a nation so filled with liars and two-timers? If they do not, expect 75% tax on you, because the spending will never stop. So we'll have to see. Now for the church, we need to take heed to all the warnings, like I wrote in my letter and in the July letter. God says to all the churches, the one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes. So we need to overcome all of the sins and lukewarmness and watering down of the Word of God, treating the Word of God with contempt when we have the blessing of the tremendous Word of God and the teachings of Christ as never before in the history of the world, so we can secure eternal salvation. So we likewise have to change our ways. We likewise have to realize that everything comes from God. So if you take this next Sabbath for praying for the nation, remember these things. You pray for the churches, remember these things. Ask God to grant us mercy in time, because we don't know how long we have to go. And we don't know what God is going to require of us to do to feed the flock and preach the gospel. But between now and the election, it's going to be a very tremendous turning point for this nation and everyone in it. So we'll commend you to God and end the sermon here. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.